Yes, today we remember. We remember our King, and we remember that He gave His life for us. We've sung this morning about His blood. We've sung this morning about the cross and all of its significance. So this morning we're going to spend some time just talking about that. I want to do a Bible reading this morning from John, and then we're going to take some communion together, and we're going to remember what Jesus did. We're going to take this time. So this morning I want to read from John 19, verses 1 to 37. And I wanted to take the time this morning. I know it's a long reading, but I wanted to take the time because it's best described here in the words on the page, and there's no better way to put it. So starting from verse 1, Jesus is sentenced to death. Then Pilate had Jesus flogged with a lead whip. The soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a purple robe on him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked as they slapped him across the face. Pilate went outside again and said to the people, "I'm to bring him out to you now and understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said, "Look, here is the man." When they saw him, the leading priests and temple guards began shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Take him yourselves and crucify him," said Pilate. "I find him not guilty." The Jewish leaders replied, "By our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or crucify you?" Then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it was given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders shouted, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who declares him a king is a rebel against Caesar." When they said this, Pilate brought out Jesus once again. Then Pilate sat down on the judgment seat on a platform that was called the stone pavement. It was about noon of the day, preparing for the Passover, and Pilate said to the people, "Look, here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him. Crucify him." "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the leading priests shouted back. Then Pilate turned Jesus over to them to be crucified. The crucifixion. So they took Jesus away. Carrying the cross by himself, he went to the place they called the skull. There they nailed him to the cross. Two others were crucified with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign on the top that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek so that many people could read it. Then the leading priests objected and said to Pilate, "Change it from 'the King of the Jews' to 'he said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "No. What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they divided his clothes among the four of them. They also took his robe, but it was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said, "Rather than tearing it apart, let's throw dice for it." This fulfilled the scriptures that said, "They divided my garments among themselves and threw dice for my clothing." So that is what they did. Standing near the cross where Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home. Verse 28, the death of Jesus. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar of sour wine was sitting there. So they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it to his lips. When Jesus had tasted it, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It was the day of preparation, and the Jewish leaders didn't want the bodies hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath. So they asked Pilate to hasten their deaths by ordering that their legs be broken. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. So they didn't break his legs. One of the soldiers, however, pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water flowed out. This report is from an eyewitness giving an account. He speaks the truth so that you may also continue to believe. These things happened in the fulfilling of the scriptures that say, not one of his bones will be broken, and they will look on the one, and they will look on the one they pierced. So this morning, we remember our King. We come here to remember over Easter Friday and Good Friday that Jesus lived a life here on earth. He was not a high and mighty God that was above us. Instead, he came down with us. He dwelt with us. We come here at Easter to remember his death. We remember that he died a human death, but not just a human death, but a human death bearing the weight of sin of all humankind. This is a pain that we cannot experience. This is a pain we cannot fully understand or comprehend. But he did it, and he did it not just for us. He did it for all humankind. And we remember the resurrection of Christ. And as we saw in that clip, we're coming up to the resurrection to remember on Sunday, where we celebrate where our King defeated death. So why did Jesus need to die? Jesus became sin and died so that we no longer are slaves to this sin. So we can be living freely. We are free from that weight of sin. We are free from those chains. In Romans 6, verses 10 to 12, it says, the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies so that you obey its evil desires. We now have the choice. The blood has been paid. We do not need to sacrifice. We do not need to perform any acts or actions. That price has been paid, as it says there in Romans, once and for all. So why did Jesus choose to die? This does nothing but reflect the pure heart of love that Jesus had for all of us. He not only showed a heart of love, but he was obedient to his Father, to the point of death. He was willing to do the will of his Father, for not just his Father, but for all of mankind. We too need to try and take a piece of this heart, live in love, and live in obedience to our God. So what does this mean then, moving forward? If we choose to accept and follow Jesus, then we are righteous in the eyes of God. We are right with him. Because we are no longer chained by sin. We are no longer tainted. And when we do get things wrong, which we do and is expected, we can turn to Christ and he will take that sin. He will remove the wrong and make it right. It says we will become white like snow because of what he did. Because of the blood price that he paid, it is made well. So this morning, I'd like to spend some time taking communion. But we're not going to do it as we normally do it. We have a table set up outside. There is bread, fresh bread out there, and there is cups of juice. In a minute, I would love for you all to make your way out there, grab your communion, and make your way back in here, and then we'll partake together. So if you'd like to go out there, Ben and Reese are going to be out there with you, and we'll partake in communion in a minute. Thank you. Stand with me. I'd like to read from Luke 22, verses 14 to 20. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. When he took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, he said, take this and sharing it amongst yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord God, this morning, we thank you for the body that was broken. Father, we thank you that you are of humankind, Father. Lord God, we thank you for your obedience, and we thank you for the life that you lived and how it serves as a compass for us unto live ours. Father, thank you that we can spend this time in communion and remember the significance of your life here on earth and the body that was nailed to that cross. You may eat your bread. Verse 20 says, after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice to you. Father, we thank you for this cup that we hold in our hands. Lord God, we thank you for the blood that was spilled and that this resembles that blood. Father, we thank you for the price that was paid, so that we may be righteous in your eyes. You may drink your cup. You may take your seats. I'd like to now spend a few minutes reflecting. As we reflect, I want you to picture the cross. You can look under the cross if you like. We have a cross there. Or like one of the songs we sang this morning, look unto his face. So if you close your eyes, and as the guys at the back play some gentle music, let's spend this time just reflecting upon what our King did and the significance to us. Father, as you go about our day, may we remember what you did. May we remember why we celebrate Easter. Lord God, we thank you so much. And Father, if there's opportunity to share this love and to share this amazing act, this amazing story, testimony, Father, may we share it with others and declare your love and your glory in all that we do. Amen. That concludes our service this morning. Feel free to stick around a little bit if you want to hang around a little bit. Sunday, we have our Resurrection Sunday service. It's going to be an amazing service. That is going to be the service where we celebrate the fact that the stone was rolled away and that our King rised and rose from the dead. So we're going to have hot cross buns, we'll have coffee, we'll have Easter eggs, all that out there next week. So come, it's going to be Sunday next week. It's just a pattern. I'm used to saying that, aren't I? It's going to be an awesome time Sunday, so come along. God bless you all and have a fantastic weekend. Thank you.